Okay, so the next item on the agenda is under new business, and we'll start off with resolution 18-499, San Juan County, PhD number 1, 2019, budget. Pam Hutchins.
Okay, this budget has been out for over a month now. It's the budget without the medical center expenses. The total budget is $1,993,470 with a budgeting operating reserve of $606,590. And going forward in 2019, like I say, it would just be the district expenses. We should get all of the medical center bills in December and pay those. So starting out in 2019, we should be free of any of that expense. So that is what the proposed budget is.
Do we want to change, I mean, is it proper to change it now to add the COLA that we just approved?
Sure.
I mean,
you can pass the resolution.
I can.
Pass it with that.
You can pass the motion that I can change it to. Yeah.
Why not?
I don't have to turn it into the county until the 30th. I have to turn it in about the 30th, but I can change it.
So this is the budget that we just that we reviewed last time and continue to review. And
yeah, I haven't changed anything on this.
He wants to make a motion.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, to amend the budget reflecting Pam's increase.
Great.
I second that. Any discussion? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Now we go back to resolution 18-499. Did I hear a second on that?
Yes, you did.
I did. Okay. So, continuation of discussion on that. Is there any? Call for a vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. My hearing is off. We're just going downhill.
We're all eyed.
So raise the volume up. Then we get those mics back. What do you think, Nathan? Okay. So in close follow-up that and pertinent to the 29-year budget is Resolution 18-500, which is a tax levy-related resolution that pertains to the 1% increase that is an option of a district to have on a yearly basis. Can I hear a second?
A second.
Okay. Discussion?
Why do we need this?
It's mandated by law.
Do we have to take it? I don't think we have to take it.
We don't have to take it, but 1%.
Do we need it?
Yeah, we need it. Everything goes up every year. I mean, the electric prices go up, the office supplies go up.
So we're just talking about $12,997.
But also, if you want to do any kind of extra health-related, you know, money, I mean, why wouldn't you, when our budget is so tight, why wouldn't you take 1%, which we're allowed?
That actually relates to a line of questioning that I had with Pam this morning, and that is, after we pay the subsidy agreement to Peace Health, Peace Health Medical Center, and after we pay the lease on the office space and utilities and phones and salaries and all, how much do we have left over? And it wasn't a ton of money. It doesn't really, it certainly does not have the cushion the EMS has by any stretch. So I'm for this resolution. You know, the 1% is nominal, but you never know that the district might well need it.
Might need it for AV.
How often do we vote on something like this?
Once
every
a year.
Any further discussion? Dr. Mark? Annalisa? Rebecca?
No.
Dr. Appleton?
Well, from our point, from your point of view, but from the taxpayer's point of view, you know, it is still $12,000, and of course, every taxpayer, it's a little bit, but so that's why I asked the question. I mean, is there really a need for it?
The voters voted for this permanent levy, I don't know, way back, I don't know what the year was, and that accords for 1% a year increase. And this is...
Yes.
I get this figure from the tax office, you know, of what we have to do, this resolution now, and they give me these numbers. Last year, was $1,299,707.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just talking about fiscal responsibility. Yesterday, Orcas, or 2 weeks ago, five days ago, last week at the Orcas, you know, they could go up to 75 cents per thousand. They decided at 65.
We're only at 46, and we can go to 75.
That's not my point of what we're at. I'm just talking about what they did and their approach to their taxpayers and their tax base. I think that's a legitimate discussion to have. When we're doing this, it's just not like, well, it's only 1%, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. These people and those people that aren't here, I think they deserve that we have this discussion to make sure that we are doing our budgets correctly. And I'm not implying we're not, but I think that's a discussion that should be had.
Well, we're also in the middle of trying to come up with a solution for the long-term care. So that is going to cost money. We're in the midst of trying to get money to do the feasibility study, you know, and so.
My point, Pam, is if we just, let's do this, I think we have to say, well, this is why we're doing this. This is what our increased expenses are going to be. So people out there say, well, they just raised another 1% and I didn't have any input. Well, if we raise it 1%, I think they deserve. The taxpayers, myself being one of them, and everyone else here. Well,
I agree, and that's why
and
we have
so
budget.
So why are
hearings.
We doing this? Because if we have audiovisual or if we have mental health, and we see these new expenses coming up, then fine. But I think we have to earmark these to some plan. If its cost of living is going up and all of our expenses are going up, there has to be some explanation as to why we're doing this. Not we can, so therefore we will.
Well, and also it's important to look at it from the standpoint of we have an unknown coming up. Like, if we do bring EMS and fire together, we're potentially going to be asking people for more money and a new levy. So it's important that we're responsible here and considerate of what people are already paying for. From my understanding of what's coming out of the Citizens Advisory Group, Orcas Fire is managing about the same number of calls we are with about half the budget of the combined entities here. So that's going to be something that is going to surprise people, I think. So, okay. Well, anyway.
I'd like to ask. I mean, that I don't think that's right.
No, if you take the combined, if you take the combined levy rate that we get, and you add it to the levy rate of Fire 3, that puts us within just 2 cents of what Orcas Fire and Rescue gets. So they're very, very close.
But we have fire and EMS that are paid for separately.
Correct. You combine those two, and it comes to approximately the budget that Orcas is for their fire and EMS.
I would be concerned about that. I'll just speak up because I'm going to present tonight that they are $1.4 million less on revenue and $1.6 million less on operations. And I've got all the budgets, the brand new budgets. So I'm just going to present that tonight to the CAC.
So I think that knowing that and that what we have ahead of us, we should be considerate of something like this.
Well, in my mind, we have been considerate. We posted our budget a month and a half ago, and I haven't heard nobody has contacted me telling me your budget is too high or this item is too much or, you know, so I don't mean that I took it for granted that we just get one, you know, but that's...
Pam, I'm not criticizing you.
You know,
I'm
if
saying
you
that
want...
you're not doing it right. I'm just saying that, like, if we're going to vote on this, we should do it responsibly.
And I thought that's what we've been doing.
As a board.
Well, we have.
Talking about the board.
And I like to talk about history since I'm kind of the old geezer sitting up here. I live with the subsidy agreement from day one with Peace Island, Peace Health, and at that time the board was operating under a tax levy lid lift that afforded the district to have approximately $350,000 a year in excess to their regular levy. And by design, when we struck the subsidy agreement with Peace Health, they knew that our intention was to let that tax lid lift expire and not resurrect it. And that's exactly what we did. That was $350,000. We're talking about $12,000 here. So, you know, $12,000 in the face of a potential merger with Fire 3, that's not going to take you very far. You know, I think we need to be responsible in asking for that 1%, in my opinion.
And we do have, you know, no longer we do not have the expense of the old Vent Center anymore. So that does help our budget.
Mm-hmm. It does, and we have many things to consider in front of us. But, I mean, that's why we have this resolution, so that you can vote on it. If you don't want it,
and I did sit and
vote
on
it.
I did. I'm sure other people did, but, I mean, it's not as if Pam and I didn't discuss this at length today, earlier today, and last week when we had the budget. I mean, I'm not, again... I don't think we're just saying, okay, let's raise it and not think about it. I think all of us have asked the questions already.
Of course.
So maybe you're just bringing it up so that the populace knows that we've already asked these questions already, and that's legitimate, because otherwise how would they know?
Any other comments? Nathan.
It's important to note this is not a tax increase. We can't increase the taxes on the public with a vote. It's not how this works. What happens is, and this is misleading, and I'm new to government, so this was something I looked into carefully because I also helped with the CAG. But what's going on here is property tax is increased by, would our property tax assessed values increase by a certain percentage every year? Last year, I think it was 6%. So if we take that rate, the set rate that we have, of that 6%, it would be substantially more than what you see here. But we're limited to 1% of that. So actually, we're taking less percentage-wise than we were. This is actually a tax decrease if you're talking about assessed values. So we're taking 1% rather than the full increase in assessed value.
Sure, my point is taxpayers don't see that.
But that's not true, for one thing. We're collecting more money, so obviously it is a tax increase. I mean, the whole thing about percentages and going down and all of that and the whole big pie and everything, you're collecting more money, it's a tax increase.
I'm not arguing with you over that, but it's...
I'm sorry for
you. I mean, it is kind of a complicated thing.
Well, it's a matter of phraseology, and it's... In a relative sense, it's a diminished tax increase is what it is in reality.
Well, you know, the rate is decreased, but the overall revenue is increased.
Right.
So, okay, I call for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All against, say nay.
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 3-2. Resolution passes. The next resolution is certification, San Juan County PhD number 1, 2019 tax levy certification. Something you can talk about, but basically that's just for the board to sign off on, and it includes the resolution that just passed, and new construction. New construction is not an option, is it, Nathan, one way or the other?
I'm sorry, you'll have to ask me again. I'm sorry.
So taxes levied on new construction that we are eligible for, that's another option of the board to say yes or no, is it?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, we're allowed to take 1% plus new construction. Maybe Pam or Chief Martin knows.
No, new construction is not an option.
Yeah, my history on the board has been automatic, whether you like it or not. So,
correct.
Okay.
I think this levy certification is just showing us what it is with new construction versus what the other one, what it is without new construction.
Okay. So you're saying it's
nothing to vote on.
Good. Okay, Chief Martin, it's under your wing this time. Resolution 18-501, Salmon Island EMS 2019 budget.
Well, first off, we still have a budget for the board to vote on. Which one are we going to be using? The one that gives us two more EMTs for next year, or that we stay status quo?
Your recommendation was for the two new EMTs for a variety of reasons during the workshop and the ongoing discussions we've had in the last 3 months.
That's correct, yes.
So my view is that I have been working off of the budget with the two new EMTs.
Well, we talked about that at length at the workshop,
yeah.
And it's, you know, Dr. Appleton asked the salient question, that is, how does that diminish response times? It certainly, you know, times is only one parameter. It certainly enhances quality of care. And frankly, the gratification that the EMTs in the middle of the night doing, helicopter runs from Pease Island, you know, they're... That in part explains our attrition with EMTs, is job satisfaction. So it enhances that. So we have two budgets, one with two additional EMTs, full time, and one without.
So, I have a question of order.
Sure.
We're now discussing the San Juan County EMS budget. In the last meeting, you presented a resolution on ethics. I took that very seriously. And so I got out the ethics, I got out the book and this, I went online. And in our ethics under principles and practices, section 5B, commissioners shall not allow outside activities of personal, financial, or other interest to influence or appear to influence their ability to make objective decisions with respect to the district. 5E, commissioners shall not be beneficially interested directly or indirectly in any contract or transition made by the board in whole or part, or that may be made for the benefit of their office or account directly or indirectly any compensation, gratuity, or reward with such contract transaction from any other person beneficially interested therein except for the extent permitted under applicable law. Should a commissioner have a beneficial interest in a contract or transition proposed for the district, such beneficial interest shall be disclosed to the board before the board authorizes district to enter into any contract or transaction. The existence of such conflict of interest shall be reflected in the official minutes of the board. Any commissioner having such a conflict of interest shall not vote when the matter is presented to the board for approval. Moreover, such commissioner shall not influence or attempt to influence any other commissioner to enter into a contract or transaction, which is this budget, mm-hmm. in which such commissioner has a beneficial interest. F, any at the time of a commissioner's election, a commissioner shall disclose in writing to the board all personal and professional relationships that create or have an appearance of creating a conflict of interest with the district. Should any such personal or professional relationship arise in the future, the commissioner shall promptly disclose such relationship to the board. When I came on the board, that was not asked of me. So tonight, before we work on this budget, I am going to tell you that I do receive $124.50 a month from...
$124 or something like that.
Something like that. I used to work for Pease Island Medical Center. Mm-hmm. I have not worked for them for 18 months. I have no financial interest with them. I have multiple investments. some of which in mutual funds this place may buy supplies from. But I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
But I think every commissioner should do this too if we're talking about transparency and ethics. And I took it very seriously, so I'd like to hear from all of you just exactly what I said, whether you have an interest, whether I have no family member that works for EMS. And I think as a transparency issue and an ethical issue, we need to discuss that before we discuss this budget. I also went online, the Constitution of the State of Washington, and this is from Research Ethics 50 State Table Voting Recusal Provisions, and they note what each state's rules are. And as it turns out, Washington has one of the most restrictive. In Article 2, Section 30 of our Constitution, any member who has a private interest in any bill or measure proposed or pending before a legislature shall disclose the fact to the House of which he is a member and shall not vote thereon. So I ask all the other commissioners to indicate if they have an interest in this upcoming budget. I make that a motion. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Time for discussion.
Discussion. You know, what you cited there, Warren, is it obligates an individual who's in elected office to disclose any conflict of interest. Does not obligate somebody to say the opposite, that I have no known conflict of interest. And that's a document that you should have signed earlier. Was that not presented to the entire board, Pam,
the
Code
of
2018?
The Code of Ethics.
Code of Ethics.
Yes. I supplied it to everyone. You were supposed to read it and then give me a signed copy. I think you would give me a signed copy without reading it.
So did you receive a
yes, everyone
signed copy
said,
from everyone?
Yeah.
So you signed that document then. Is that correct?
No.
You did not?
I can't remember if I did or not, but I am stating right now that I don't have those when we get onto this budget. My concern is Commissioner Smith, who your husband works here. And the way I read this is
a financial
okay. issue. I mean, these are the ethics that we all, that last week we got admonished for not following the ethics.
And
so
we
I'm
did,
just asking.
And we did, when I was appointed, we did talk about that. It was discussed. The point was that he's a volunteer and there is nothing in this budget that increases the stipend for volunteers. So there is no financial gain.
If we discuss the one of hiring two people, there's a potential gain.
There is no potential gain.
Not for her, though, or for her husband. Unless they're one of the two hired.
That's the point. That's one of my points.
Well, that would be precluded in my book. Because there is a potential gain there. I don't think that's under consideration, is it?
It is definitely not under consideration. Okay. He will not be one of the two EMTs hired. He's the oldest EMT in the county, and he probably won't be around. He's not going to be a full-time EMT.
He'll be around.
He's a volunteer.
He just won't be an EMT.
He's a volunteer.
Okay. I'm just asking a question because...
There's no question about that.
Okay, then we have that commitment. But I'm just asking. I mean, I think that's a fair question.
Okay. Well, there's no financial gain for me here.
Well, we have a motion on the table. Is that correct? It's been seconded. It's proffered by you, Warren.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in discussion period of that. Dr. Mark, anything to say, sir?
Yeah, it's a matter of self-disclosure and integrity. Admittedly, we have new commissioners on the board. When we sign documents, we're stating that we've read and understood the document. That is a significant matter. So any objections, any conflicts, according to paragraph F, need to be submitted in writing. So if any commissioner needs to do that, then I encourage them to do so, even if it's in November.
Well, I think the Code of Ethics speaks for itself. I certainly signed it, and have signed it for as long as it's been around. As I said before, you know, if you are potentially guilty of having a conflict of interest, then you should so state that to the board, put them on notice, and recuse yourself.
Yeah.
That's not the case here, so that this motion, frankly, doesn't make much sense to me. Any other comments?
I think it's important to acknowledge that this has been brought up before as a concern, and I think it's just being brought up again as a concern. And
okay, I'll make a comment that I have no conflict of interest, if that satisfies people. No one's ever asked that in 14 years, and if you conjure up that I have a conflict of interest, I'd certainly not like to know the basis of it. But that's my statement. I certainly don't encourage any other commissioner to make that statement because, again, the motion doesn't make much sense to me.
I call for the vote.
Call for the vote. All in favor of this motion, say aye.
Aye.
All against? Say nay.
Nay.
Nay. Motion fails. 3-2 against.
So are we back to the budget?
Yeah, well, we got
sidelined. With the chief saying that these two new EMTs will be at the station, mm-hmm. I would like to move to discuss approval of the budget with the two new EMTs.
Okay, I second that. Discussion? Did you hear the motion?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Annalisa, please. I was just saying that based on our conversation at the last meeting, that the chief assured us that the two new EMTs would be at the station, improving response time. Therefore, I would like to move to approve the two new EMT budget.
So our discussion period, Dr. Appleton.
Did she made a motion, I second.
I did.
Oh, you did. Very good.
You thirded it.
Okay.
You were fourth.
So at the last meeting, I did ask for a professional opinion of Chief is how much response time would we save? And the answer I got was, how long can I hold my breath? I don't think that is what I was looking for. I did time how long I could hold my breath. But I would like to know now, in your opinion, how much response time this is going to save. And two, if we're running, over the last 3 months, we're running 2.75 EMTs per run. Will having this person on, these two EMTs on this budget, will that reduce that number and there will be cost savings internally there, or is this going to be on top of that number and more cost? I'm not discussing or arguing about availability or stress or fatigue, but there hasn't been any fatigue reported during any of these reports over the last 6 months since I've been asking for it. But I just need to know how much time are we going to be saving by doing this budget this way?
I don't know. It will, when I have EMTs here, when I have staff here at the station, the rig is out the door, I would say normally within 90 seconds. And I would say that that's the long time, because what normally happens is when the tones start going off, the staff that's here starts walking to the ambulance for the response. Now the 2.5 to 2.8 that you're noticing that are going on calls, these are people also responding POV to the scene. So they're taking their rig to the scene. That doesn't, when they're going to the scene, that doesn't get this rig out the door any faster. So having a person here available for to get the rig out the door is what we're looking for.
Okay, so maybe a better way for me to phrase my question is, when there's no one here, how long does it take to get the rig out the door?
That depends on the call. That depends if we have a second call going on. It depends on the time of day.
10 o'clock at night, no second call going on.
Pardon me?
10 o'clock at night, no, 1 o'clock in the morning, no second call going on.
I can look that up for you. I can't pull a number out for you.
Well, what you can say is they're going to be enhanced. That's for darn sure. Yeah. To have somebody in-house versus somebody who lives on the west side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can also tell you the community EMT stipends went down $20,000 because of the EMT. So there's fewer stipends to pay the EMTs because we got full time. So there are some, and so there's some balance in that.
Okay. Further discussion? Dr. Martin? Lisa?
I didn't understand that.
What she said is that the scenario where there is, where we hire two new EMTs, mm-hmm. our budget and our expectation is that our budget, we've budgeted for $20,000 less paid to the community, to the volunteers than if we do, than in the situation where we hire no EMT, new EMTs. So if it stays status quo. We budget $150,000. If we hire two new EMTs, the budget is $130,000. Now, I'll tell you that 2017, our total cost for volunteer stipends was $130,000. It wasn't $150,000. Right? And I think the budget in 2017 was like $145,000 or something. This year, through October, we're at we've spent $100,000 on volunteers. So, you know, I would expect we'll be somewhere in that $120,000 to $130,000 for November and December, to finish the year out. So we basically add extra in there, you know, just as to be conservative. So that I'm just trying to give you some numbers there that you can base that on.
Thank you for that explanation. That's understandable. I guess my other question is, we have the people at night. Does that end up reducing the other people coming and to the call anyway? I mean, how does that?
Because they're not paged out.
Yeah. There are less people on call.
They're not paged out because they're here already, so unless they need them for a call. So if it's a transport, they don't page them out. They just call the people here. Right.
So we'll change it on transports, but how about on emergent calls? It gets paged out. So how does it save it there? I'm just asking a question as a taxpayer there, making sure this has been thought through.
Well, the big thing is our volunteers are the backbone of this organization. The people of this community expect a reasonable response from us to come to the site of their emergency. And that's what we're trying to do here. And this has been a need that we've been looking at, trying to figure out different ways to get this to better our response time. We know that our response time, we can better these numbers. What that degree is, and until we start seeing the numbers, I know they'll get better, but to the percentage or to a specific number, I don't know what that's going to be. But we do know that we can better these times. We do know that the flights that we're getting from in transporting the patients from the hospital to the airport, that the EMTs, aren't using their skills, and they're not as motivated to get up, go on these calls in the middle of the night, go back, and then go to work the next day. We know that, and so if we don't wake them up, and we wake them up on the true needs of the calls that we want them on, we'll get them out the door. That is the goal of the program that we're working on. And this this way of doing this. And then two, we're at 1,100 calls a year. I'm at 1,100 calls a year. And at a certain point, you know, you need to transition from a volunteer program to a part paid, part volunteer program to a full paid program. And this is we're in a transitional spot now. And so we realize and we want to keep our volunteers because we know they're our backbone. But we need to get over this hump. And the hope is that in 2 months, 3 months, we'll be able to come back and show you the difference that your guys' decision makes on this budget.
Okay, so when I have coffee tomorrow morning with a bunch of guys and they ask me this question, and we did this, and my answer would be they're going to get better service, but also we're going to have less fatigue because these night runs of just ambulance to airport are going to be handled under this budget. Is that what I say to them?
You can. I don't know if we're having, I don't know if less fatigue is in there because our people aren't saying that they are fatigued.
But we just said that these people get up, they go back, they have to get up the next morning, and that's hard to do. That sounds like fatigue.
That's being tired. That's not fatigued.
Okay. That's okay.
Okay. Any other further comments or questions of Chief Martin? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Unanimous.
Right.
So, yeah, we have executive session with council here in 5 minutes. So, it would be nice if we could let Chief Martin off the hook because he's.
So we can pass a resolution.
Yeah. So
when did they pass?
Catch up to where I should be.
Huh? Which one did they pass?
The budget's passed. Tax levy resolution and resolution 18-502. It's the same consideration. So 1% annual increase. So I call for a motion or a resolution. Can I have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
We have earlier one budget was bare. Next year, and Pam said yours is much fatter. Do we need 1% more?
Yes, sir.
With how much? We have 6 months of reserves.
As of the end of this month.
Yeah.
Our budget would be that we're budgeting to have by the end of the month, end of the year budget would be at our current budget says about 4 months. We may have a little more than that, but we're still active. We're still trying to rebuild our reserves.
The recommendation, excuse me, Chris. The recommendation is that you have between 3 and 4 months of reserves set aside, and when we took over this program 3 years ago, we were in a hole where we were the levy money that we were getting was smaller than what we were. The amount that we were getting from our building company was smaller. Accounts receivable, we had a 1.3, 1.4 deficit in there. We had, it's taken us 3 years to climb out of this hole. And we have equipment to buy. We have defibrillators that we need to be banking for. We have vehicles that we're gonna be needing to be replaced. So yes.
I'm not arguing. Asking as a taxpayer, do we need it? And you're saying yes. And
yes. And I'm giving you an explanation,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I got it.
Any further questions or comments? Call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Passes unanimously. And thanks to the council who sits to my left, the next item does not need to be ruled upon by the board. And we're just now making our executive session, which means upstairs at 5 o'clock. I can't run.
How long do you expect that to last?
We're calling for 20 minutes, so if we need to extend that, Richard, we'll come downstairs.